Today on Annenberg Radio News.
These raids do nothing to fundamentally solve the problem of our immigration crisis in the country. They do nothing.
Recent immigration raids on local businesses are drawing protests from activists and the mayor. Good afternoon and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 10th, 2008. I'm Courtney Cabot. A wave of freeway violence claimed its latest victim just after midnight in South Central Los Angeles. 19-year-old Samantha Padilla was shot and killed on the off-ramp of the northbound 110 freeway at West Lawson Avenue. Police say the shots were fired from a Bronco as Padilla was stopped at a traffic light. A witness says the gunman fired at Padilla's vehicle five times. He says he saw a truck fleeing from the area right after the shooting. American airline passengers faced another day of cancellations. Caitlin Fenero reports.
A quarter of a million frustrated travelers faced the third day of delays today as American Airlines struggles to inspect its entire fleet of MD-80 planes. From Burbank to San Diego, more than 70 flights into and out of the Southland were canceled. Alaska Airlines and Midwest Airlines may be the next to annoy travelers, as both carriers also dropped flights to make checks of their MD-80s. Over 2,500 flights have been affected since the first wave of cancellations on Tuesday. Tim Wagoner, a spokesman for American, said the cancellations were likely to continue through Saturday. Caitlin Fenero, Annenberg Radio News.
U.S. Representative Maxine Waters is calling on the federal government to do more to enforce fair housing laws and prevent predatory lending. She said lax enforcement of the Fair Housing Act is contributing to foreclosure crisis by leaving borrowers often to discrimination and unfair lending. The Democratic Congresswoman from Los Angeles spoke at a conference to commemorate tomorrow's 40th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act, which included the Fair Housing Act. Los Angeles Councilmember Jack Weiss proposed today that property owners who allow billboards to illegally be plastered on their buildings be subject to a fine. Weiss says that some super graphic billboards have been put up without city permits, which have strict safety and fire requirements. The councilman will introduce a motion tomorrow asking the city attorney's office to draft an ordinance to impose a fine of $2,500 a day and do more to crack down on illegal billboards. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and Police Chief William Bratton talked today about the future of LA's counterterrorism efforts. ARN Camille Mann reports.
Members of the police force and members of the city council met today at USC Town and Gown for a conference on counterterrorism. The speakers emphasized interdepartmental dialogue as an important instrument in fighting terror. Mayor Villaraigosa was one of the five speakers and encouraged the audience to keep the lines of communication open.
As long as we continue to communicate with each other, to learn from each other, to share our knowledge in a way that can only be helpful.
All of the speakers touch on heightened public safety, focusing not just on gang prevention, but counterterrorism as well. The counterterrorism unit of the Los Angeles Police Department has grown from 5 to 300 officers, according to Police Chief Brandon.
We actually proportionally have more personnel assigned to counterterrorism than the New York City Police Department.
This is the third time the conference has been held at USC. Camille Mann, Annenberg Radio News.
A victory today for people who work in hotels near LAX. The California Supreme Court today declined to hear an appeal of a lawsuit brought by airport hotel owners and business leaders. The lawsuit challenged an ordinance that requires hotels to pay employees a living wage. The Los Angeles City Council approved the ordinance back in February, but the law never took effect because the lawsuit was filed. Under the ordinance, hotels have to pay workers a minimum of $9.39 an hour and provide health insurance, or pay $10 an hour and $10.64 an hour without health benefits. Looking to the weather, wear your sunblock this weekend. Temperatures will go up to the mid-80s starting tomorrow, and it will continue to be warm and sunny and in the mid-80s for the entire weekend. Check out the LA Art Weekend, a three-day event featuring LA area art institutions, including the UCLA Hammer Museum, MoCA, LACMA, and the Getty Center, showcasing the Southland's latest developments in art, design, and architecture. Later on Annenberg Radio News, I had the chance to sit down with Pulitzer Prize winners Anne Hull and Dana Priest from The Washington Post to discuss their experiences investigating the Walter Reed Hospital. Later this month, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa will submit his budget to the City Council. One item that will be in the budget will be money for more police officers. Today, a coalition of community groups and unions called on the mayor to take care of the people who need help. Sonata Lee reports.
The Los Angeles Community Action Network held a news conference on Skid Row today, calling on city leaders to reject the mayor's plan to add 1,000 more police officers on L.A. streets. The network is a coalition of community groups. Dozens of coalition members wore union T-shirts to show their support. Labor organizer Pete White says that instead of funding more police, the city should fund city programs.
We are calling on leaders to reject any budget that prioritizes police over poverty. Instead, we need a budget that focuses on housing, jobs, services, and opportunities for all Angelenos.
Despite the city's budget deficit and potential layoffs of city workers, the mayor has insisted on keeping his vow to expand the LAPD. Jeffrey Childs is with the Bus Riders Union.
Mr. Mayor, I'm asking you not to balance the budget on the backs of us who depend on us for city services and jobs.
White says that the recent Safer City initiative that put 116 officers in downtown L.A. resulted in police harassment of the poor and homeless. In a written statement to Annenberg Radio News, the mayor says that expanding the LAPD is the central priority of his administration, and that protecting the buildup of the LAPD is a promise he made to the residents of Los Angeles that he intends to keep. Sonata Lee, Annenberg Radio News.
Taxpayers may be footing the bill after the largest beef recall in the U.S. history cost school districts and states millions of dollars to destroy the tainted meat. The federal government is billing a Chino, California slaughterhouse more than $67 million. But if the slaughterhouse can't pay, the burden will fall on taxpayers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says the final bill may top $117 million after final expenses are added up. In February, 143 million pounds of beef were recalled after an undercover footage was released by the Humane Society showing plant employees abusing sick or weakened cows. A local human rights group gathered this morning in Lincoln Heights to garner support for a march in memory of a revolutionary Mexican leader. Jean-Luc Renaud has more.
A statue of Emiliano Zapata stands defiantly in the sun at the corner of Mission Road and Valley Boulevard in Lincoln Heights. Members from the United Front of People of the Americas stood in the statue's shadow, holding up a poster of the Mexican general who for many is a symbol of social justice for his fight against oppression in Mexico. This Sunday, the group will hold a community march in memory of the general, as well as to demand that all migrant workers and their families currently considered illegal be given citizenship. Rocio Gonzalez-Watson says immigrant workers are productive members of American society and must not be considered criminals.
So if we are here is because there is a demand for workers. We again believe and know that we are the driving force behind this economy. So we are not asking for anything outrageous or something that is not a human right. This is a social justice issue.
Organizer Guillermo Cuauhtemoc says the group is also marching against immigration raids.
It's affecting families, it's dividing them up, it's leaving U.S. citizen children here if their parents get deported.
The march is scheduled to start at 8:30 Sunday morning at the corner of Cesar Chavez Avenue and Lorena Street. Jean-Luc Renaud, Annenberg Radio News.
The number of immigration raids at businesses throughout the country has gone up since 2001. In the Los Angeles area alone, there have been several raids this year that have led to the arrest of several hundred illegal workers. And as David DeSolo reports, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa wants some of those raids to stop.
Ease up on the immigration raids on businesses. That's the message from Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa in a letter to Michael Chertoff, the Secretary of Homeland Security. The mayor is concerned that federal efforts targeting, quote, non-exploitative employers, unquote, in Los Angeles could have, quote, severe and lasting effects on our local economy, unquote. In other words, he wants the federal government to focus on employers who exploit undocumented workers, not the ones who treat and pay them well. The fear is deporting too many of these workers would negatively affect the economy. Anike Tourze is the communications director of CHURLA, the Coalition of Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles. She applauds the mayor's position, but feels that he should go further.
I think the raids need to stop entirely. These raids often are being done without due process, meaning that in our experience with these raids, people have been kept from attorneys, for hours and hours. They have been subject to continual questioning for hours and hours. They were, you know, denied food and water and using the bathroom.
Ira Melman, the media director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, strongly disagrees with Mayor Villaraigosa.
Mayor Villaraigosa seems more interested in protecting the interests of employers in Los Angeles who profit at the expense of everybody else by hiring illegal immigrants and then passing the costs along to everybody else in the city, rather than on protecting the interests of workers in that city.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents raided the Van Nuys headquarters of Microsolutions Enterprises in February. Nearly 140 employees were arrested on immigration violations and other charges. Annenberg Radio News was told that the company's CEO was not available to be interviewed, and he would probably not comment on the case. Federal authorities raided Imperial CFS, a warehouse in Torrance, last week during a routine inspection. I spoke with one employee who declined to be identified because of the sensitivity of the situation. The employee says that approximately 30 people were taken into custody. The company has not been told who has been detained, and it's using temporary employees to fill the manpower shortage. At least two other businesses in the Southland were also raided during the same period. The American Civil Liberties Union is providing free legal advice to some of the people apprehended in the raids. Ahila Narulananthum is a staff attorney with the ACLU.
There's two basic problems that we at the ACLU would see with the raids in general. The first is that ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, now appears to be exhibiting a pattern of systematically disregarding the rights of immigrants who are arrested in these raids. Then the second thing I would say, even apart from the particular constitutional violations that seem to accompany every single raid, is the fact that, you know, arresting 140 or 150 people when there's something like 12 million undocumented people living in the United States is just not a rational response to comprehensive immigration reform, which is what we need.
Immigration activists are closely following the presidential campaign. They know that regardless of who wins the White House, the next president has promised some type of immigration reform. Both Chirla and the ACLU want the raids to stop until a new law has been passed. David DeSola, Annenberg Radio News.
I am sitting here today with Dana Priest and Anne Hall, two investigative reporters from the Washington Post. First off, I would like to congratulate both of you on your Pulitzer Prize and your Selden Ring Award. It's such a great honor to be speaking with you today. How does it feel to have a story impact the country in such a massive way?
Unusual. And, you know, it's great that, you know, I've worked my whole career trying to find people who were underdogs, who didn't have a voice, and who had some sort of injustice happening to them. And you can't even imagine that something this big would happen.
Yeah, I don't think we were prepared for kind of the national resonance the story had. For us, we reported on Walter Reed, which is 3 miles from the Washington Post newsroom. It was very much a local story. But when the stories, the first round published in February of 07, it just tapped into this national vein of outrage and, you know, the common reply we heard from, you know, the thousands of emails that we received was it's just not Walter Reed. And so that, you know, kind of that propelled us to, you know, spend the rest of the year covering the story. So it wasn't our choice to continue. It was the fuel from the people who called us.
What kind of impact did the story have on you personally?
Well, I think every story, you know, you get fully invested in the world of a person, of a problem, of an institution. And this was a story that we lived and breathed for 16 months. And each individual plight of a soldier kind of it still rumbles around inside of me. Each has its own degree of heartbreak and frustration.
Was it hard not to let your emotions kind of cloud your reporting?
I don't really think so. You know, I think I had, you know, speaking for myself, there were many times where I would do interviews and try not to cry in the interviews because the person is telling you something that's so horrible that you cannot imagine how they get up in the morning. But when it comes to actually putting any of that on paper, there's something that just clicks in automatically.
What would you say was the most challenging thing about your story?
From a journalistic standpoint, that I think the challenge was taking this accumulation of anecdotes, of small outrages, and making it into a story that made someone want to start and continue all the way to the end.
What would you say was the most rewarding part about everything?
Definitely, it was the good changes that came about from the stories. I mean, the Army has sort of rebuilt the way it treats wounded outpatients. Walter Reed has done lots to make life better. There's much still to be fixed. But just seeing laws changing as a result of the stories that would end up making the lives better is all – you can't ask for anything more.
And also the people that we wrote about ended up, you know, in a much better place. And seeing those little things – happened to them was great.
You went in and you saw everything firsthand. What were some of the ethical dilemmas you faced?
Well, you know, we never lied about our identity. To get on the post, you have to present a valid driver's license, which we always did, and we always said where we were going. We just didn't announce the fact that we were from the Washington Post or reporters.
The other thing was, because you're dealing with privacy issues of healthcare and illness. So we wanted to be very careful of privacy issues for people who didn't know we were there and didn't agree to let us quote them.
Do you have any words of wisdom for future young journalists?
You really have to get out and mix it up with people. That's, I mean, to me, it's sort of why I went into the business. I didn't want to be inside a desk in an office. I wanted to go out and to live a life outside of my own, and that was the appeal of being a journalist. And I really think that with all the technology, that young people still need to go out and like burn that shoe leather.
Dana Priest and Ann Hull are investigative reporters with the Washington Post. They were awarded the Pulitzer Prize for Public Service for their expose on the mistreatment of wounded veterans at Walter Reed Hospital. Los Angeles residents looking to rent apartments can breathe easy. Rent will only increase 2.5% to 3% this year. That makes apartments a realistic option for many in Los Angeles's crowded housing market. There will also be slightly more apartments available this year. A Highland Park man is $2,000 richer today, but he could have been even richer if he hadn't been so honest. Last month, Eli Estrada found $140,000 in a bag in the middle of the road. He immediately turned it into the police. The money had been lost by Brinks armored truck drivers, and the company gave Estrada $2,000 as a reward for his honesty. A mother is pushing a registry to track a link between egg donors and colon cancer. Her story is a personal one.
Right now, the reason there are no follow-up studies of long-term effects of egg donors is nobody knows who they are.
Reporter Lily Fowler brings us the story of Jessica, a young egg donor. You can hear it by clicking on AnnenbergRadio.org. And now we check in with Callie Fisher to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hi, Callie. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. Courtney, how about yourself?
I'm doing great.
Tonight, coming up at 6 o'clock on Annenberg TV News, we go one-on-one with USC basketball guard O.J. Mayo in an ATVN exclusive. Hear about the freshman's decision to go to the NBA. Plus, a development in the negligence lawsuit against USC. Find out what happened in court. Plus, an unusual showdown between FBI agents and USC students right here on campus. The Marshall class behind this soaking shootout. You can hear all these stories and more coming up tonight at 6 on Annenberg TV News on Trojan Vision.
Great. Thanks, Callie. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Brian Sika, Kiara Conzi, our producer, Matt Mundy is the executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Courtney Cabot.